Welcome to the International Broadcast Ministry of Touching Lives with Dr. James Merritt. Here at Touching Lives, our mission is to touch the lives of the lost and enrich the faith of the found. And now, here is pastor, author, and speaker, Dr. James Merritt.
If you're a guest of ours today or you're watching us for the first time, we've been in a series we've been calling The God Life. And I'm going to be honest with you. We've been in a series, it's on the prophet Elijah. When I started this series back several weeks ago, I didn't know how it would go. Because if you think about it, how do you really sell a man that lived 3,000 years ago and try to convince people in the 21st century, this guy has a lesson to teach you? You can learn something from this guy. And yet, I probably have gotten more positive feedback on this series than anything I've done in years. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why I believe it's true. The reason I was so excited is because when I read what the Apostle James said about Elijah, he said he was a man just like us. So when I read that, I thought, well, that means that the life he lived, I can live. The way he lived for God, I can live for God. The way he impacted people for God, I can impact people for God. And so we're going to learn today as we wrap up this series, now we're going to learn not only how from him to live the right way, God's way. Today we're going to learn how to leave this earth God's way. Now I want to just say this as we get started. You're not ready to die until you've lived the right way. You're not ready to die until you've lived the right way. So I want you to take God's word. I want you to turn to a book called 2 Kings. You say, I don't know where it is. It's right after 1 Kings. All right, 2 Kings chapter 2. Go to Genesis, turn right. Go about 9 books, you'll hit it. 2 Kings chapter 2. Thomas Paine, one of our founding fathers, said this, nothing is more certain than death and nothing more uncertain than the time of dying. We know we're going to die. But for all of us in this room, we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know where we're going to die. We don't know how we're going to die. But this is what's amazing. Elijah did. This is the story of Elijah's last day on earth. And are you ready for this? He knew it was going to be. He knew he was checking out. He knew he was about to leave. He knew he would never see another sunset after this day. He knew this day would be his last day. We don't know that. But one of these days, one day will be our last day. And we're going to exit this life and enter into the next life. I remember when I was president of the Sunbelt Convention, you run for a term, then you get reelected, and you hopefully you have 2 terms. And it's very exhausting, and I was really glad it was over because there's a lot to do. It's a lot on your plate. You don't get paid for it, a lot of travel and all that stuff. So I just gaveled down the last session, and it was over, and I was so relieved, and I was so happy. And I turned around, and there was a man standing there with his arms crossed, his smiling real big. It was Adrian Rogers, my mentor, my hero. He was just smiling real big. I said, Dr. Rogers, I said, man, it's so good to see you. He put his arm around me, and he said, James. And he pointed to a sign over a door. He said, do you see what that sign says? I said, yes, sir. He said, what does it say? I said, exit. He said, that's what you are now, an exit. Never will forget it. Never will forget it. But he was joking. But the truth is, one day we're all going to be an exit. One of these days, we're going to walk through a door called death. And we're going to leave this earthly life. We're not going to be here anymore. And we're going to learn today from this great prophet who lived the God life, that if you're going to die the way a God life ought to die, you better make sure you take the right exit and you better exit right. So this is the lesson Elijah's going to teach us today as we wrap up this series. The greatest legacy you can leave is when you leave a life well lived. The greatest legacy you can leave is when you leave a life well lived. There was about 6 people that drove up. They actually flew up from Tampa, Florida, just to hear me preach today. They watched me on TV, and they came to the first service. They were out there and had some fellowship with them. And they said, Pastor, we'd like to pray for you before we leave. I said, man, that would be great. And so they prayed for me. They got through, and I said, let me tell you the biggest thing you can pray for me. They said, what's that? I said, I got one last goal in life, one last big goal. I want to finish well. I just want to finish well. I want to hit the tape with my chest out. I want to hit the tape with my head up. I'm not throwing down on anybody, it seems like every week now you read about another pastor that messed up and another pastor that failed and another pastor that just stumbled and has fallen. And I don't want to be that person. So however you die, whenever you die, wherever you die, I want to share with you today three things that should be true of you, and they will be true of you if you have lived the God life. So number one, as you exit, and one day you will, you should always follow God's plan. You should always follow God's plan. Now, the story begins with this simple statement, 2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Now, right up front, we're told the exit sign is flashing. Elijah can see it. He knows he's coming to an end. He's about to be taken into heaven. But here's what's interesting. Not only did Elijah know it, Elisha knew it. And not only did Elisha know it, there were a bunch of seminary students that knew it. You say, what do you mean? We keep reading. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied, so be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He replied, as sure as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied, so be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. So you read this last story, and I got to tell you kind of what's going on because it's kind of interesting. This is going to be Elijah's last day. Elijah knows it. He knows it. God knows it. Elisha knows it. The seminary students know it. And it's going to be a long, long day. Let me tell you why. Back in that day, you read about this company of the prophets. They were called the School of the Prophets. They were like seminaries. And they were located in three places, Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho. So God has let Elijah know, Elijah, at the end of this day, you're going to be with me. But today, Elijah, you're going to leave Jerusalem. First, we're going to go to Gilgal. Then we're going to go to Bethel. Then we're going to go to Jericho, and then you're going to cross over the Jordan River, and then I'm going to take you to heaven. Now, here's the question that I was asking as I was reading this. This is his last day. Why are you taking him all over the place? Because just to go from Jerusalem to Gilgal to Jericho was a trip of about 30 miles. It would take all day long. Why is he doing that? Well, he's doing it for two reasons. First of all, this was kind of a trip down memory lane. You know, people say that when you're about to die, your whole life flashes before you. Well, in a way, this is what was happening to Elijah. Because you go to Gilgal. What was Gilgal? Gilgal was the place where the children of Israel first camped when they'd been wandering in the wilderness 40 years. This is where they first camped before they crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land. So this was a place where God, their God life had really began. But then they go to Bethel. What's in Bethel? Well, the word Bethel means house of God. That symbolizes the presence of God. That's how Elijah had lived his entire life. He had lived every moment of his life aware he was in the presence of God. Well, then they go to Jericho. Why did they go to Jericho? That was the first place that Israel conquered when they took the Promised Land. Now, Pastor Chuck Swindoll said this, what Normandy was to the Allied forces in World War II, Jericho was to the Israelites. Now, Elijah said, I'm right at home in Jericho because all I've been doing all my life is fighting battles. You know this. You've been with me for several weeks. He's always been in a battle with the king, with Jezebel, with prophets, with false believers, with people on his tail trying to kill him. He's always been in a battle. And so God's just reminding him of all the victories that he had won. And then the last place he had to go was the Jordan River. Why does he have to go to the Jordan? Because this is where you cross over to the other side. This is where you leave one land for another land. This is where you leave one life and you go to another life. So what is God doing? He's saying, Elijah, I want you to look back at your life one more time. Look at the God life that you have lived. I'm about to take you to heaven. That's one reason. But God had an even bigger reason. There's another reason why he's taking him from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho. There was what was called the school of the prophets. These were like modern day seminaries. These were men that had been called to ministry just like Elijah. And these were men that Elijah had mentored. Elijah had taught. Elijah had encouraged. Elijah had poured his life into. And so God said, Elijah, there's one last ministry I want you to perform. I want to get all these young men together. I want you to go meet them and teach them and encourage them and exhort them and urge them to live the God life and to lead others to live the God life as well. So do you see what God is doing? God's got a plan for Elijah's life. God's got a work for Elijah to do. That plan is not finished. That work is not over until you exit right. Let me tell you why I say all that. I've heard so many people say, you know, if I knew today was the last day that I would live, if I knew that was the last day, I'd get all my affairs in order. I'd make the calls I ought to make. I'd see the people I ought to see. I'd do the things that I ought to do. And you know what I tell people like that? If that's really what you would do, if that's your last day, why don't you live every day of your life like it's your last day? That's what we ought to be doing today. You ought to live, we say it, but we don't mean it. You ought to live every day of your life as if it is your last day. You say, well, Pastor, if today were your last day, what would you do today? I'd do what I do every day. The great Christian saint, St. Francis of Assisi, was a very devoted follower of Jesus. Somebody asked him one time, what would you do if you knew you were going to die at sunset? You know what he said? I'd keep hoeing my garden. I just keep doing what I'm doing. I'd be doing what I know God wants me to do. Because when you live the God life, you live as if every day was your last day. As a matter of fact, on that day, you would do what you believe God would want you to do if it was not going to be your last day. You would be following God's plan. So my point to you is this. Right now, you are here because God has a plan for your life. That plan does not end till your life does. So if you live the God life, right up till you draw your last breath, you follow God's plan. Number two, if you live the God life and it's time for you to go through the exit, second thing is you go to God's presence. You will go into God's presence. Now, we're going to skip a big part of this story. I want to come back to it. I want to move ahead. Elijah and Elisha, they've gone to Gilgal. They've gone to Bethel. They've gone to Jericho. They've actually crossed over the Jordan River. And they're just having a wonderful conversation. They're enjoying each other's company. Now, they know their time's about to come to an end. And here's what we read. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and he tore it in two. Fascinating. It's only one of two times you read in Bible. As a matter of fact, it's only one of two times you read in the history of this world that anybody had what I call a deathless departure. They had an eternal exit. Only two people in the history of the world have ever exited this earth without passing through the door of death. Only two people have been immediately ushered from earth directly into heaven. If you don't remember who the other was, he was a man named Enoch. You go back to Genesis chapter 5, and you read in Genesis 5 this little interesting tidbit about Enoch. The Bible says, Enoch walked with God, and God took him. Just poof, gone. Just one step he's here, one step he's not. One breath he's here, one breath he's not. One look, he's here. One look, he's not. He takes one step and God took him. But the second man is Elijah. He's taken up in a whirlwind. Now, why do you think that's in the Bible? Why do you think that story is there? Why do you think God took him that way? Because God just wants to remind us there's also going to be another group of people. They're not going to die. They'll go directly to heaven. And those are the people who are alive when Jesus returns and raptures those of them who are still alive. And that may be us one day. Who knows? But in the meantime, here's where we are. We're in no man's land. We don't know when we're going to die. And we don't know how we're going to die. And we don't know where we're going to die. And so just in case you don't know, or you know, you might think this. Matter of fact, I just said that. I thought to myself, I think I'll ask you this question. You don't have to answer it, but would you really want to know when you're going to die? I mean, if God were to say to you today, hey, if you really want to know, I'll tell you. I'm going to be honest with you. I would want to know. I mean, I really wouldn't want to know. I mean, I told the Lord about 20 years ago, I said, Lord, just don't let me die until Georgia wins one more championship. After that, I don't care. But really, would you really want to know? Because let me tell you why. If you're one of those people, say, you know what? I would like to know exactly when I'm going to die. Well, guess what? There's a watch that you can buy that will predict your death to the nearest second. I'm not making this up. It's called the ticker watch. I'm going to put it up on the screen here. This is the ticker watch. Let me tell you how this works. If you go, you can actually go buy this watch, okay? This watch will ask you a set of questions about your medical history. Then they'll take your age, they'll subtract it from your answers, and they'll give you the estimated death date. When you hit that button, isn't this a blessing? It starts counting down the years, the months, the days, and it comes to the exact second when you supposedly are going to take your final exit. Now, some people call it the death watch. Well, the man that invented it was a man named Frederick Colting. He was a Swede, and he didn't like that. He said, that's not a death watch, that's morbid. He said, it's a happiness watch. When they asked him why, he said, well, if you know when you're going to die, then you can make the most out of your life, and you can get ready, and you can make preparation. Well, I got news for him. You don't need a watch to do that, because here's the good news. No matter where you die or when you die or how you die, if you live the God life, you are going to heaven. If you live the God life. I read the other day about a 95-year-old woman. She was in a nursing home, and her pastor came to visit with her. And he sat down, and he said, Ms. Smith, he said, how are you feeling today? She said, Pastor, I'm so depressed. I'm so depressed I can't even eat. I'm just sick to my stomach. And he said, well, do you have a lot of pain? She said, no, I'm not in any pain. He said, well, do you have a disease? She said, no, I just got a checkup the other day. He said, well, what are you worried about? She said, well, Pastor, I'm 95 years old. She said, so what? He said, I just got to thinking, every single one of my close friends has died and gone to heaven. He said, why does that bother you? He said, I'm afraid they're wondering where I went. Now, you don't have to worry about where you're going. If you live the God life, wherever, however, whenever, you'll exit right, you'll take the right exit, and you will go to heaven. One of the highlights of my life was back, this is in, golly, Pete, 30 plus years ago. I got to have lunch with George H.W. Bush. This was after he was out of office. And the man was running for governor, and he invited me to come down and have lunch with him, and they were raising money, and he let me bring two of my sons with me. And so as God worked it out, it was me, the guy running for governor, President Bush, my two sons, and me. And we spent about an hour, and one of the finest, sweetest, gentlest, kindest men I think I've ever met in my life. You would have never known he was one, you know, once the president of the United States. Well, on November the 29th, 2018, President Bush was 94 years old. He didn't know it, but this would be his next to last day on earth. His best friend, James Baker, who served in his administration, always came to see him every single day. Whenever he would walk in, here's what he would always say to the president. Mr. President, where are we going today? Well, this time when Baker walked in, the president asked him first. He called him Bake. He said, Bake, Where are we going today? Well, James Baker said, for some reason, looking back, he knows now why he said it, but he said, I don't know why I said it at the time, but I said, well, Mr. President, we're going to heaven. And George Bush looked at him and said, that's good, because that's where I want to go. Can I tell you something? That's where I want to go. And that's where I'm going. That's where I know I'm going. Because I have lived the God life. When you live the good life, the God life ends by going into God's presence. But now, let's go back to one part of the story, because there's one last thing I want to share with you. Yes, when you live the God life, you follow God's plan. And when the God life ends, you go to God's presence. But in the meantime, as you live the God life, until you take that exit, most important part of my message today, we are to live in God's power. We're to live in God's power. Now, I want to take you back to that part of the story that takes place before Elijah's taken to heaven. Elijah and Elisha, they're standing on the banks of the Jordan. They've crossed over. The water is too high. They got to cross over. The two of the prophets are watching. There's about 50 of them. And they're wondering what's going to happen. They all gathered together because they knew he was going to die. They knew he had to cross over. But the water's overflowing. The river's overflowing the banks. There's no way they can get across. So they're wondering, okay, what's our mentor going to do? What's our hero going to do? Here's what happens. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Now, again, that raises a question. Why did Elijah leave the promised land and cross to the other side of the Jordan? Because I'm going to tell you something you know is true. God could have taken Elijah from Jerusalem. God could have taken Elijah from Gilgal. God could have taken Elijah from Bethel. God could have taken Elijah from this side of the Jordan or to Jericho. Why did he have him cross over to the other side? Because he wanted him to perform one last miracle. Well, why did he do that? Because God wanted to remind Elisha, his successor, and all these young seminary students who had been studying under Elijah, that the God life is the God life only because it's lived in the power of God. Now, Elijah's gone to heaven. But Elisha's got a problem. He's still got to get back across that river. He can't get back home. He's stranded. So now he's got a test. And here's what God is saying to that young man named Elisha. Are you going to believe me the way Elijah believed me? Are you going to trust me the way Elijah trusted me? Are you going to follow me the way Elijah followed me? Are you going to obey me the way Elijah followed me? Are you going to believe I'll give you the same power that I gave to him? And see, deep down, Elisha knew this. He knew he needed God's power, because here's what we read in verse 9. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You've asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. Now, here's what's going on. Here's what you don't know. Elisha has spent 9 years with Elijah. 9 years. Every day. Never left his side. 9 years. He saw the battles that Elijah had fought. He saw the wanted posters where people wanted to kill him. He knew that the king was hot on his trail. He knew every day might be his last day. But he watched this man. Never went to sleep worried. Never blinked. Never flinched. Never walked the floor. Never worried about anything, because he absolutely lived in the power of God. He said, look, every day of my life I've followed God's plan. I know one day I'm going to God's presence. In the meantime, I'm going to live in God's power. And the same trusting heart and the same power Elijah had, Elisha said, can I tell you what I want? I want double what you got. I know what your secret sauce is. I want double of what's in your heart. I want double of what's in your head. I want double of what's in your mind. I want a double portion of your power. And when I was working on this sermon, I put my pen down. I'm going to tell you what I told the Lord, because I want to tell you. I want people to see the power of God in our church. I want people to see the power of God in your life when you go to work on Monday morning. When people walk into this building, I want people to see the power of God in the words that I use. I want people to see the power of God in the work that we do. I want people to see the power of God in the walk that we take. I want people to see us live the God life. And so these young seminarians are looking at a distance and they're wondering, okay, what's Elijah going to do? Will he measure up to his master? Will he follow God's plan? Will he still believe one day he will go to God's presence? In the meantime, is he going to minister in God's power? What's he going to do? Well, here's the answer. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Guys, hold this up there for just a minute until I tell you to change it. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. I'm going to stop right there. Now, I'm going to read the rest of the story, but if you don't listen closely, you're going to miss exactly what happened, because I don't want you to miss it. So Elisha takes the cloak, same cloak. You can still see the smoke from the chariot. And Elisha's got this cloak that Elijah had. And what Elijah did, he did. He goes over and he strikes the water with a cloak. Everybody got it? All right, don't miss this now. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah, he asked. When he struck the water, it divided into the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Now, if I were to ask you what happened, here's what 99% of you would say. You'd say, well, he picked up the cloak, and he struck the water, and the water parted. That's not what happened. He picked up the cloak, and he struck the water, but it didn't part. But when he asked the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Then he struck the water, then it parted. Now, why is that such a big deal? Listen to me carefully. God wanted to teach those seminary students. God wanted to teach Elisha. And God wanted to teach us. The power was not in the cloak. The power is not in the hand of the prophet that held the cloak. The power was in God. That's where the power was. So, here's why I say that. Elijah was gone, but God was not. So you say, what's your point? One day, I won't be the pastor of this church. I don't know when that day's going to come, sooner probably rather than later, and I don't have any specific date right now in mind, and I hope you're not trying to kick me out, but one day it's going to come to an end. And I want you to hear me carefully. God's power, God's plan, and God's purpose is never limited to a place. It's never limited to a person. It's never limited to a period. Men and women of God come and men and women of God go, but the God of those men and women never goes. And the work never stops. And that's why I want you to hear me clearly. You don't need me. You need God. And whoever follows me, you just need God's man. That's all you need. Because the power's not in the cloak. And the power's not even the hand of the cloak. The power's in the God of the cloak. So I want to say three things about God just while we're in the neighborhood. Just remember this. First of all, only God is indispensable. Pastors come, pastors go. Presidents live and presidents die. But But you know what this church and this nation has in common? We both need God, period. God alone is indispensable. God alone is imperishable. Leaders don't leave us, they're taken from us. The Elijahs don't stay around forever, but God does. And only God is irrefutable. Even the greatest of the heroes in the Bible were not perfect. Even the great prophets and leaders in the Bible made mistakes. At times they were wrong. They had to be corrected. Their ways had to be rejected. But God can always be trusted to say the right words, lead the right way, and do the right thing. So where there's an exit, there's always an entrance. So what do you read? Here's what we read. Elijah exited. Elisha entered. One person's exit led to another person's entrance, which leads me to say the most important thing you will hear, and the most important thing I try to teach young pastors, and it's this: God can do His work without us, but we cannot do our work without God. And I tell these young pastors that I mentor, you may be a great communicator. You may be a great alliterator. You may be a great sermonator. You may be a great illustrator. You may be erudite. You may be educated. You may be energetic. You may have a dynamic magnetism. But God doesn't need any of that. You need God. You need the power of God. You need the purpose of God. You need the plan of God. You need the presence of God in your life. Where is the God of Elijah? That's what I want people to know. That's what I want people to ask. Where is the God of Elijah? One of the reasons why the Father sent the Son to die on the cross and come back from the grave was so He could send the Spirit to live in every one of us, to enable to live the God life until the end of that life, when the God who gave us that life will take that life back with Him so we can live with Him forever. So now I'm going to ask you the question I asked you at the beginning of this whole series. You got to make a choice now. We've been talking week after week after week after week after week about the God life. Now you got to make a choice. When you walk out that door, what kind of a life are you going to live? The good life or the God life? And there's an eternal difference between the two. Church members that live the good life, they're a dime a dozen. But church members that really walk out of here and live the God life, I'm telling you, they are like diamonds in dust. Because at the end of the day, the God life is a life that just points people to Jesus, aspires to live the cross-shaped life. So I'll tell you two stories and I'll be done. What I'm about to say, I want to brag on Jesus, not me. We'll make that plain. So last weekend, I felt led by the Spirit of God to fly to Texas to see Georgia play Texas out in Austin. So yeah, go dogs. So my flight left at 10 o'clock that night. I got out to Austin at 11:25. So I walk into the airport. I was about 2 hours early, and I walked to the airport. There weren't many people there, and about half of them had dog stuff on. I had dog stuff on. So there's a guy sitting there, and he had dog stuff on. I sat down about two seats from him, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said, "I'm doing fine." I said, "My name's James." He said, "My name's Stuart." And I shook his hand. I sat back down. He looked at me. He said, "You're James Merritt." I said, "Yes, sir. I watch you on TV every Sunday. I can't believe I get to meet you." I said, "Man, I can't believe I get to meet you." We struck up a conversation. I said, "So where are you staying when you get out to Austin?" He said, "I'm staying in Round Rock." I said, "That's where I'm staying. I'm staying in a hotel there with my son, Round Rock." And he said, "Why don't we get an Uber together? We're going to the same place." I said, "Will you pay for it?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Man, I'm in." So we get to Austin, 11:25. Well, he had been flying standby for three flights because he hadn't really made a flight. And so they thought they'd send his luggage on with it, stay back in Atlanta. So we had to go there. This all is going somewhere. So they had to go there. We had to go to the luggage place. And they said, "Your luggage won't get here until noon tomorrow." And he said, "Okay." So that was about another half hour. So, man, you know, I'm really tired. So now we call the Uber driver. Now, keep in mind, there's thousands of people coming. Every flight's packed, going and coming. Everybody's coming in for the game. And so, I mean, Uber drivers just going, 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 going. And so we call this Uber driver. His name is Andre, 31 years old, never been married, drives Ubers on the side, works full-time job. So we're going to Round Rock, and I said, hey, Andre, I said, how long's the ride? He said, oh, it'll be about 40 minutes. I said, oh, great, okay. So I said, how long have you been driving Ubers? He said, about 5 years. And I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, you've been driving Ubers 5 years. I said, has anybody ever talked to you about Jesus? He said, no. I said, well, would you mind if I talked to you about Jesus? He said, man, I'd be great. So I shared with him the bad news and the worst news and the good news and the best news. And we pull up to the hotel. And I said, Andre, do you understand everything I said to you? And he turned the car off and he turned around and he said, that is the best news I've ever heard in my life. I'd like to give my life to Jesus. And right there in that car, he asked Christ to come into his heart. Now, wait a minute, listen. You say, well, you're the pastor. That's what we pay you to do. No, ma'am, no, sir, you don't pay me to do that. Well, you're the pastor. That's what you ought to do. I agree, that's what I'll do. But I ought not to do it just because I'm the pastor. No, I'll tell you why I did it. Because every day of my life, I just try to live the God life. I just want to live the God life. That's what God wants you to do. Just live the God life. So I'll close with this last story. King Henry IV of France was a big, strong guy, but he was getting up in years. But he was in great shape for his age. And his courtiers were talking to him one day, and they said, you know, sire, the way you're going, you might live to be 80 years old. And nobody in that day hardly ever lived to be 80 years old. And he said, you think so? He said, yeah, we really think you just might do it. And this is what King Henry IV said to them. The number of our days is reckoned. I've often prayed to God for grace, but never for a long life. Now listen to what he said. A man who has lived well has always lived long enough, however early he may die. The greatest thing you will leave your kids and the greatest thing you'll leave your grandkids is not money, it's not houses, it's not real estate. It's not memorabilia. It's not pictures. It's none of that. The greatest thing you'll leave your kids and your grandkids is a life well lived. You know what I want my grandkids to say? Baby, I got five of them. When Pop finally goes to heaven, if my grandkids just say, I'll tell you about my Pop. He lived the God life. He was obsessed with Jesus. Jesus was everything to him. He did everything he could to bring glory and honor to him. That's all I want. That's all I need. Because when you take that exit through the cross and the empty tomb, you will exit right because you will have taken the right exit. Pray with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, honor your word right now. With people who are watching online, with people in this room right now, listen to me carefully. You cannot live the God life until you know God, and you cannot know God until you come to know Jesus, which is why Jesus said, you can't get to the Father unless you go through me. There's some of you watching this program right now. You're watching on a computer or watching on television. You're in this room today. You don't know Jesus. You've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior. You can't live the God life because you don't know God. And I just wonder who's listening to me right now that needs to simply say, I don't want to live the good life. I want to live the God life. And to live the God life, you've got to have the God of life living in you. So I wonder who would say today, who would pray today, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe you're that Savior. I believe you died for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I believe you're alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. I surrender all that I am to all that you are. I repent of my sin. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for saving me today. If you're watching online right now and you prayed that prayer, would you just call the number on the screen right now? It's just crosspointchurch.com/next. Send a note to that website. If you got saved today, if you're in this room and you got saved today, when you go out to the lobby, there's a table there called Next Steps. Would you just go to that table and just let someone know that, hey, I made the greatest decision of my life I could ever make today? And I just challenge all of us as we've been studying this great man of God. He was a man just like you, just like me. The life that he lived, you can live. And the way that he left this earth, you can live. Through the power of the God that wants to live in you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great man. May all of us walk out of this building today more determined than ever by the Spirit of God to live the God life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Because life is a journey, every season brings new challenges and opportunities. But through it all, one thing remains constant: God's faithfulness. That's why this ministry exists, to bring the hope of God's Word into your life, your home, and your family every single day. And it's because of friends like you that we can continue to share the truth of Jesus with people all over the world. Your support enables us to reach those who are searching and struggling and seeking to grow in their love of Christ. And as a way to thank you for your generous support of our important work, we have some incredible resources to offer you. For your gift of any amount to this ministry, we want to send you a copy of Finishing Our Course with Joy by one of my favorite authors, J.I. Packer. This powerful book challenges us to continue to see aging not as an excuse to slow down, but as an opportunity to finish strong, to continue learning, growing, and serving God with endurance and joy. I can tell you, I've read this book more than once, and it has ministered to me every time. Or, for your gift of $75 or more, we would be honored to send you the Never Doubt God Bundle featuring three of my books. The God Who Hears, a reminder that your prayers matter and that God is listening. How to Deal with How You Feel, biblical wisdom on managing emotions with faith and confidence. 52 Weeks with Jesus, my favorite book. A year-long journey to deepen your relationship with our Savior. Every gift you give allows us to reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. So don't wait. Call now with your gift, or you can also give online. And remember, never, ever doubt God. He's working in your life, and he's working through this ministry thanks to your generosity.
Touching the lives of the lost and enriching the faith of the found. This is Touching Lives with Dr. James Merritt.